That's right. Yes, sir, bro.
All right.
It's good.
Well, you ready? Ready or not?
Is it?
He's Brother David Vernon. He's mad at me right now, so pray for him. Pray his attitude get right before he preaches.
I was all packed up to go to the airport, and got to the airport, started getting my bags out, and remembered that I had a pistol in my briefcase.
In New York.
I said, well, so my wife, she's a pistol packer today. I give it to her. Thank God. Thank God. The Lord lets us remember something once in a while.
Yeah. Brother, move that microphone up a little bit closer to you.
I'm trying not to be heard, Brother Asquith.
Well, I understand that, but they made the big bucks.
They need to get the money for it.
Just got a bunch of scattered thoughts in my mind. I'll just give you something here. Let's first of all, let's start out by doing this. Everybody take two fingers, put it on your heart, bring it to your mouth, kiss it, and salute Smith. How we've got by so far without honoring Slick back here. God help us. I lay in the bed at night and think about him sometimes, just honoring him, giving him his respect. But it's good to be back in Black Creek. Amen. Well, if you will, look with me in John chapter 10, please. Y'all have to understand the thing or two. There's a few people here that understands this. Brother Taylor, thank you for the good word of God. I appreciate that good preaching convicting me. I appreciate conviction. I thank God anytime a man preaches and I get under conviction, I do. I thought about getting out of bounds in my life, and I looked at Michael and Tanya and them children and my son and my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter, and how it affects the people around you when you get out of bounds. And I don't care if you're my age, young, handsome, stout, good looking like me, or if you're ugly like Peter. He can take it. He grew up next to the Asquiths. If you get out of bounds, it's going to hurt somebody. I had three older brothers, and I followed them out of bounds. It didn't do me no good. Follow them out of bounds a few times. I'm just saying, no matter what your age is, you get out of bounds, you're hurting people around you, not just yourself. I looked over at my daughter-in-law and I said, you know what, I preached to a lot of people in the state penitentiary, and never one of them got out of bounds. Never one of them. And that's why most of them's there. So thank God for that good message. John chapter 10 says this, verse 10, I'll read one verse. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Boy, I'll be honest with you, church. I was taught all my life as a boy, even in Sunday school, not to hate. You correct me if you want to, but I like to hate the devil.
Yeah.
I do. I like hating. There's not anybody else in this world I get to practice that on. But I practice that with him as much as I can. You know what? He hates me too.
Right.
And he hates you. And he hates your wife. And he hates your husband. And he hates your children. And he hates your neighbors. And he hates your church. And he hates your pastor. He just hates.
Right.
He sure does.
Right.
Right.
And so I enjoy every minute I get to hate him back and to gouge at him and just hide behind the cross, thank God, and just be able to stick my tongue out once in a while. But in John chapter 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus had something to say about it. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I just want to thank God for that. And I was going to say a while ago, you have to understand, there's a few people that does. We want, Brother Taylor, we want a pen. We got one sitting in our church. You've been there. You know that. But we sing a cappella all the time because the Lord hadn't sent us a piano player. Church, I'm a little bit crazy. It's okay. I've been that way all my life. But when you hit them keys on that piano, whatever they are, chords or whatever, and that music comes out of that thing, thank God, and people get to singing, hey, something happens.
Yes, sir.
Man, I can remember sitting there in my church and going, man, I would love to hear that piano. When I get to hear somebody sing, and that piano playing, it honors God. I like it. Amen.
Yeah.
I like it. And you never know how much it is until you don't have it. I'm telling you, church, I rejoice in that good singing, that good word of God. And but then he said, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I was riding down the road the other day with some carnal people, Amber and Zach, and, they was... I'm telling this because they didn't enjoy it, and y'all seem to be enjoying my silliness tonight, so I'll tell you. But there was a Pabst Blue Ribbon truck pulled out on Highway 421 in Boone, North Carolina. And got thoughts coming to my mind. And I didn't get to grow up with my daddy. I told the people in the car with me, I said, you know, when I was a four-year-old boy, I can remember one of the two visits that I actually got to spend with my real daddy. He come and picked me up, and he set me on his lap, and we was riding down the road. He was driving. He set me in his lap and let me drive and handed me a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer as a four-year-old boy. Went and picked up a woman that night, and took me and my brothers and stuck us in the floorboard of the back seat and went to a drive-in adult theater. I can remember the name of the movie, Brother McVeigh. And I told them right down the road, I remember racing up in the back seat, my daddy pushing my head down and telling me, get down, don't get up. I had to squat in the floorboard, me and my three brothers, and wait for them to do whatever it is they do. And I told Zach and Emery, just dawned on me that God was in heaven that night. Boy, I'm telling you, God wasn't so concerned with everything else, but he was looking at a little old preacher stuck down on the floorboard. Man, I'm telling you, it just stirred my soul, and I got to thinking about how the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm looking for somebody in the bottom of a floorboard that I can bring up out of that old pit. I'm glad, thank God, that God's able to look behind our faults, and he's able to look behind our failures. And I'm glad we've got a God that can find a little nobody in the middle of nowhere, and he can bring them up out of that pit and set them on a rock and stands the noise and put a song in their mouth and praises unto our God. I'm so glad, thank God, I got stuck in the floor of a car. I got God's attention, you hear me? Amen. I'm telling you, I've said what stuck all my life. I'm a home person, you hear me? I love the home. I love mamas and I love daddies. I love the boys and I love the girls. I love that institution that God put in place. I think it's a godly and a holy and a good thing. I'm so glad, thank God, that God helped me how to raise up and see the needs in some of our homes. You get to grow up. Don't know what I'm going to say tonight. Ain't got no plans of saying anything. But I know that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I can remember being a little old boy and loving to hunt and loving to fish. And because my life wasn't what I wanted it to be, or maybe, you know, I had to grow up in a broken home and didn't have the daddy to take care of things like I wanted to. I had to watch all my cousins load up, and they got to go fishing, and I loved to fish. They got to go hunting, and I loved to hunt.
I had to stay home and watch everybody else go. And I can remember as an 8-year-old boy, that breaking my heart. And I can also remember as an 8-year-old boy, I walked in the back of a little mountain church one day, and there's an old-fashioned Georgia preacher up in that pulpit, and he was a preaching and a slinging snot. Now I'm telling you, he was a quoting them scriptures, and as a little boy, I said, I don't know what that man's got, but I sure would like to have it. I'm telling you, church, there's a God in heaven. I heard my cry of that man, and said, you know what, son, I want you to have.
Praise the Lord. Say, what are you talking about?
Ah, man. Talking up here and sing. Oh, Lord, my God.
Y'all doing all that. I'm looking at two that got brought up out of the crack house. You hear me?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I'm glad God can work down in the middle of nothing. Thank God, I'm glad God, you hear me? I mean, a year ago, I'm looking at some of these people thinking, man, they wasn't a Chinaman chance in hell for some of the people in this church. But God, thank God, God looked through the mess, and God looked through all the misery. God looked through all the dope and the degradation, and God said, you know what? I'm going to get them to me. I'm going to get them to the house of God. I'm going to take them down to the house. I want them in my family. I'm going to do something for them. I'm going to bring them in. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother McVeigh, I don't want to say, man, I ain't got a single nut. I just got a bunch of thoughts on my mind. I was laying down in that room today just meditating on the Word of God. Well, I'm so glad God's let me be part of this thing. You hear me? I remember going down there to Florida, and God put me in Florida when I got saved. And man, I got down there and the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, and I just wanted to be obedient to the Lord. I felt like He wanted me to go to that place. And man, I was out there in the woods praying and asking God about preaching, and God put preaching on me. And I was preaching to the birds and the squirrels and everything in the woods, and God said, now go preach. Got me a little Volkswagen, and God, I hope every Volkswagen in the world blows up. Live in the state of Florida and then got an air conditioner, I hate them. Put out heat in the summertime. God give me a burden with that Volkswagen. Them old dirt roads down there turn into washboards and just ripple as you go down on parts, fall off your vehicle. But I've seen some old kids playing out in the yard when they dirty, nasty, and just a run-down place. God said, won't you go get them and take them to the house of God? Lord, let me pick up a couple kids in that little old Volkswagen, then pick a couple more, then a couple more. I had kids stuck in that Volkswagen, man, stuff hanging out. A pastor said, I'm going to buy you a bus, and they bought me a little old short bus. And I said, man, this takes me back to my school days. Filled that bus up, Brother McVeigh. Started another route with the same bus and ran at it twice and filled it up. I'm not preaching about a bus ministry. I'm just telling you some things that God's done in my life. And turned around, we bought a big bus and the Lord let us fill it up. And then we filled it up twice and the Lord let us buy another bus. And I can remember sitting in my Sunday school room. I had two kids in my Sunday school room, and God gave me that burden for them kids. And I went and got me 25 chairs and set them in my Sunday school room. And a guy came by and said, what are you doing? I said, God's going to fill these chairs up for us. And man, he just laughed and went on. And man, God let us fill up them chairs and that thing and turn that two into 200. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting little kids out of houses where they was being molested. And I seen God intervene. I seen God show up in some lives where little old girls were being mistreated. I seen little old girls that never knew what love was and never thought there was no hope running to Jesus Christ. And He give them a hope like they never dreamed of. And He loved them like they never been loved. I'm so glad. Thank God that He came that we might have life.
That we might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I'm
said, watch the devil try to destroy lives. I think about Black Creek, I think about this place, and 2 years ago I stood up and I looked across this congregation and I can see some of the faces 2 years ago that's not here today. And I can remember Brother McVeigh making the comment that the sun is probably going to fall out, won't be here next year. And that's not a prophecy, that's not hard to say, it's just where we at today in America.
That is right.
It's sad to say that there's some that's not here today, and I understand what Brother McVeigh's talking about. There's some that's gone plump, stinking crazy, and man, they're chasing the lust of the flesh, and God knows that they're getting to meet every sensual nasty desire they ever dreamed of. And then you see them and you look in their face and they're, listen to me, I don't care how much fun you get to have, I don't care how deep you get to indulge in your sin, it'll never satisfy, it'll never make you happy. I look in the eyes of them people and they're miserable just like I was. I couldn't find peace, I couldn't find rest, I couldn't have any joy, I didn't have anything worth living for. But it came that I might have life.
Amen. Thank you.
That I might have it more abundantly.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory.
Amen. Yes.
I had my own family, Brother McVeigh. When I'd show up at their house, they wouldn't come to the door. And I can understand that. They didn't want me around. So mean. So worthless, so vile. I could go knock on their door and I knew they was at home and they wouldn't even come to the door for me. The faith came to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that I might have life. What's he going to steal? I'm sick and tired of watching him steal our children.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm sick and tired of watching him steal our homes. I get sick and tired, man. Statistics are stacked up against us, ladies and gentlemen. I get sick and tired. You say, what is it, man? Nobody's enjoying the life in Christ. Seems like we go through the motions and we show up at church and we wear our smiles and our fancy clothes and we tote our nice Bibles and all that stuff. And the reality, the realness of God just don't seem to be there anymore. And I tell you, Jesus said, I came that you might have this thing and have it more abundantly. How many more do we have to see go by the wayside? How many more scars do we have to obtain? How much more wreckage in our life do we have to pile up, dear God? I wish people would stop and think, what good's it done me so far? It's not any good. I've lived on both sides. I've done both of them. Brother Lou, I've been there. I've done that stupid junk. Don't want to talk about it. Don't like to talk about it. Ain't nothing worth talking about.
Amen.
I'm just glad God came that it might give me life.
Yes, sir.
So, preacher, what you talking about? Man, this whole thing's about you having a relationship with God's Son, Jesus. I love you people. Well, I don't know who you are, but I fell in love with you already back on that back road.
Amen.
I mean, I walked up in this place, and there's a spirit that's inside that man that's inside of me. My soul embraced his soul and I loved him when I walked. Oh, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that abundant life. I'm talking about a life of fellowship with my Father. I'm talking about a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I'm talking about a peace that passeth all understanding. I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't care who's sitting on the throne in the White House. I don't care what turmoil's going on across the seas. There's a peace in my soul. Passeth all understanding.
Yes, sir.
Times in our life, ladies and gentlemen, where we probably ought to be turned inside out and upside down, but for some reason there's a peace. Because he came that we might have life.
Yes, thank you.
More abundantly. He said he came to steal. He's stealing all the listen, he's stealing the things that are precious to us.
Yeah.
My old pastor used to say it like this. Trade the racehorse off for a jackass, son.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what these little girls are paying the virtue for.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Oh, hell, right. Yeah, it's helping.
Some guy ain't gonna love them. Some guy that's never gonna treat them right. Some guy that's not gonna respect them. Some guy that's not gonna honor them. When Jesus said, I come that you might have life, I can give you a man that'll love you. If you'll be patient, wait on the Lord. I'll give you a man that'll love you. I'll give you a man that'll honor you. I'll give you a man that'll take care of you. I'll give you a man that will respect you. I'll give you a man that will fulfill your every dream and more.
Yeah.
Tell him, preacher.
You'll just take this life.
Yes.
Came to steal, to kill. Too many, even that you mentioned, to talk about the lives I've seen taken. Yeah. I hate spooky stories. I hate emotional trips, but the truth is the truth. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, how many times have you heard people get mad at God because somebody died, because somebody was off into something? God, listen, the devil's the one that came to steal. He's the one that came to kill. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Pastor of a church in Mississippi. The pastor that started the church was dead and gone, and his family was left behind. His children and his grandchildren, and most of them wasn't even in church, and I was trying to reach out to some of them and try to help and do what I could, maybe get them back in the house of God. And I had one of his granddaughters that was 18 years old, just trying to reach out to her and trying to get them back in the house of God. They was in rebellion. They was living against God, doing everything that their grandpa preached against. A good man. She's on her way to school one morning, an 18-year-old girl, 2 weeks before graduation. And her rock and roll was playing so loud in her vehicle, she crossed the train tracks and never heard the horn of the train. That train hit, and I'm just telling you, one upon many that girl got hit by that train, and they had to close the casket, couldn't even open it. It so dismembered her body. And I sit up there, ladies and gentlemen, in that hospital parking lot, and I watched a mother that had rebelled against God, took her family and left the house of God. And I seen that woman scream like I've never heard a woman scream. I wouldn't even try to mimic it. It's just something that I've never heard in my life. And I'm telling you, just run chills through your bones. And you go, oh, God, it don't have to be this way. How many times do you have to stand by and hear the blood curdling screams? How many times do we have to stand by and hear mamas pull their hair out and scream to the top of their lungs? How many times do we have to hear people say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, why? God, why? You rebelled. Decided not to take this life that I came to give you. Serving the wrong father. Came to destroy. Brother McVeigh. I can remember being at the wrong end of a 12-gauge shotgun. And I survived. I can remember standing at the end of a .357 Magnum up to my head with a hammer cocked. And I survived. It was a time a .44 Magnum was shoved in my gut with a hammer cocked and loaded. God allowed me to survive. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the life in Jesus Christ. God said, you know what? I don't want him dead. I want to take and do something. I want to use him. I'm telling you something. I look at these kids around here and the teenagers and moms and dads alike, and I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to leave heaven. Oh, thank God, and die on an old cruel cross and stand the mockery of an unjust trial and to be spit on and ridiculed and made fun of. And he went through every bit of that. Why? So that you and I could have life. Tell you something. God's angry with a sinner every day.
told our church, I said, the earth travails because the presence of sin.
Yes, right.
This earth groans, ladies and gentlemen, when sinners walk across it. It's grievous to a holy God. Okay, that we might have life. He don't want to see your, listen, Jesus don't want to see your life destroyed. Man, how many could we sit around and testify, thanks be to God for the homes that Jesus has rescued. Huh? Boy, you talking about a blessing from God Almighty. I've seen the enemy come along and just cause havoc in a house, and I've seen mamas and daddies get in each other's throat, and I've seen that thing begin to tear apart at the seams, and I've seen them, that love that they once had, begin to slip and fade away and turn into malice and bitterness and hate.
Yes.
I've seen people hire lawyers.
Yeah.
But then there was a God in heaven that stepped right in the middle of that mess and put them homes back together.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like it, friend.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing in this world like living for Jesus. I want y'all to understand that. Oh, I want you to know there's nothing in the world like living for Jesus. There's nothing in the world like this abundant life. You know what's so good about the abundant life? You don't have to pump it up. You don't have to dress it up. That's God. You don't have to make it up. I'm telling y'all, you got to do is get in that thing and live in. And I'm telling you, it'll live through you. It's the best life I've ever lived. I wouldn't trade Jesus for nothing in the world. I wouldn't trade Jesus for everything in the world.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
That's good.
Isn't it amazing? Good preacher. We trade off everything that's valuable to us for the scum of the world.
Yes,
sir. Yeah.
Jesus said, you know what? I want to give you something back. Just come to me. Come to me. Huh? He said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now let me say this and I'm done. You want to know why you won't come to him? You want to know why you won't? Because it ain't your will. You got your snorkels on, that's real deep. We're about to go down to the deep part. Your will ain't lined up with his will.
Amen.
You know what happened to me when I got saved? I came to the end old day, son. Woo! It wasn't hit real hard, church, because I done hit the bottom. I'm telling you, I was scraping the bottom, friend. I got out there in them woods that night, and I didn't pull the Independent Fundamental Baptist thing. I don't know what road I went down. I was in the woods, you hear, but there wasn't no road out there. And I know there's a God in heaven that saw me in the floorboard of my daddy's car. Passed on my way that night, and I fell on my face, bear hugging a tree out there in them woods, snake infested woods. I'm telling you, I cried out to God to have mercy on my soul, and I faced up to my transgressions against the law. I see where I violated every law. I see where I was worthy of death and hell. God have mercy on me. Bob, would you believe when I got saved, I was on the bottom. I had money to spare. Brother McVeigh, I like guns. I like fast cars. I like my pretty wife. Is this being recorded? I like my pretty wife. Brother McVeigh, when I got saved, I was in the condition. My wife called me on the job one day and said, the washing machine's broken. Isn't that amazing? Let me be a pastor for a minute. My wife called me and said, the washing machine broke. I didn't call my wife and tell her the washing machine broke. I don't know how to turn a washing machine on. Let me say that again. I'm a man, and I don't know much about how to turn one on. I've always had a mom and a wife. That killed the service. I don't wash dishes, ladies. I mean, I don't wash clothes, ladies and gentlemen. I said, well, baby, let's go buy one. I just pulled the money out of my pocket. We went and bought our brand spanking new washer and dryer that day. Riding down the road one day and passed by George Wilson's Guns. I said, I believe I'll go in there and look at them guns today. I walked in that gun store and they had this, they didn't make but 1,000 of them. It's a Weatherby 270 and it was a blonde wood, just as yellow as you can think. And that thing was $1,000 and this was years ago. The thing was $1,000 and I talked me down to $700 and pulled the $700 out of my pocket and paid cash for it. And a crackhead came along and stole it. Am I getting you? Crackhead come along and stole and sold for $25. I thought I had the gun out of shock. Caught him with my shotgun in his truck. He said, I was protecting that people was in your house taking his stuff. That's what he told me. I said, you better keep my shotgun. He said, preacher, why all of them? Because I was on the bottom. It wasn't like I was broke. I was looking for some kind of little temporal help. Man, we had money. We had a roof over our head. We had cars. We had all that stuff. But I'm telling you, I run face to face with Jesus. I run slap dab into the laws of God Almighty, and it showed me what a wretched, filthy sinner I really was. And it didn't matter how much money I had. It didn't matter what I lived, what I drove. It didn't matter what my clothes tags were. It didn't say nothing about it. I'm telling you, God's law said you are worthy of death and hell. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, just to make it short, I'll shut up. I grew up in a home. Well, I'm used to watching a woman get her jaw popped when she opened it to my stepdad. Right? I'm used to that. I'm used to watching out the windows. You watch your mama set up the driveway and get her high end stomped out there in the yard. I'm used to that. I'm used to hearing her called every filthy and vile and ugly name that a person can be called. And not be those things. And I can remember saying in my heart, I never want to be that. I never want to do that. I never want to treat my wife like that. I never want to be ugly to the children. I never want to do those things. Look at me. I hated it. I despised it. It's the very thing that I become. It's the very thing that I become, and I hated it. Little old middle back punk man that I am. My wife dare not open her mouth against me. I'll straighten her out. Bless God, there ain't no woman. There ain't no woman gonna tell me. I ain't trying to be funny, but me and my wife has had some gunfights. Bullet fight. Boy, I'm so glad there was a God in heaven that was looking down at the floorboard of that little car that day.
Yeah.
Said, I'm going to spare him. And I'm going to put that home back together. I'm going to give him a home like he's never had. I'm going to give him a relationship with his wife that he's never dreamed of. I'm going to make him love her and her love him. And then let them walk together in this life and thank God, live it abundantly.
Amen.
I want you to understand something. God's done that for me.
Amen.
God's given me a good life. A nobody, a good life. He's given me a good life.
Yeah.
I love my wife. I love my wife. She has all the right in the world to tell me something. Amen. She can put her input and make her suggestions, and I want to hear them and say, amen, honey, thank God, that's good. Yeah, that's good, babe. You're more than welcome to talk to me about things. We don't have to cuss, holler. Zach, quit laughing. I shouldn't have said cuss, I'm sorry.
We just don't holler. I hate it when my son's at church. I can't preach. I gotta be honest. That little girl over there laughs. She calls me out. Wouldn't you like to have that life in Christ? You can have it. Father, thank you for this day. Help us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.